Good morning. The meat market at Fairway is a pretty clean area. We wash the tabletops where we cut our meat several times a day. We clean the grinder after we grind beef, before we grind the pork. Wash our hands numerous, countless times a day. The meat market at Fairway is generally pretty clean, except for the language. Like most places nowadays, the language and the things spoken back in the meat market generally isn't the cleanest. So it's pretty clean physically. And even though I do laugh sometimes at the stories and smile at them, the things that are told back there, the coworkers, they do understand that I'm a Christian and that I go to church Sundays and Wednesdays. They do understand that. Often as it is getting close to my time off on Wednesdays, there's one of them that says, "Have fun at church." Or Thursday, he sometimes asks, "How was church?" It reminds me of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he spoke about light. The well-known scripture reads in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So while I may not put my light on a lampstand, I might not be the brightest lamp, I'm not putting it under a basket. I may cover it with like some tissue paper sometimes, that it might dim it a bit. Something I'm not, like I said, I'm not the brightest light, but my light is shining. My light does shine and is noticed. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we were reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I already had this topic in mind, and these verses stood out to me. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and we can all be a light in a dark world that we have to live and work in. We can reflect the light, God's light, into the world because he has shown it into our hearts. We can shine that light, the light of knowledge of the glory of God." There have been numerous times my assistant manager, who was one of the more unclean in the market, by his language and stuff, when he and I were just talking, he would catch himself swearing, and he would stop and try to correct it, at least around me. He was saying he was trying to catch himself, stop that. And once in a while in the markets, different topics would come up, and the team, knowing my beliefs, would ask for my opinion. Various topics, transgender, the flood was talked about, dinosaurs, whether or not drinking or gambling is a sin. All these different things have come up in the market, which, going from one story that I will not repeat, that to these, is it's such a switch sometimes, it usually catches me off guard. Catholic Church has come up. My assistant once said, "The Catholic Church is a cult." And I was like, "Yeah, it kind of is." And he's like, "There's no kind of about it." So I was like, "Okay." So we talked a little bit later about it, and I brought up Revelation 13:18, which has the symbol of the beast, number 666, and how we've had that study with Rick and with Wade over at Pleasant Hill, that that's basically implying the Catholic Church, the Pope. So I gave him a little handout on that, and he was kind of fascinated by it. So, yeah, so different questions come up, and it is surprising sometimes. I'm not the quickest to form my thoughts into sentences sometimes, so a lot of times I wouldn't be able to give the best answer that I would want or the best response, and that would make me think of 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I like the NIV version a little bit. It has the phrase, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Be ready to give an answer. Sometimes it can be hard to be ready to give an answer if you don't know the question that's going to be asked. If they don't give you a preview or kind of a lead-in, if they just like hit you blindsided. But you do need to be ready for an answer. So I guess that's why we need to be constantly reading the Word, soaking in the light that He is shining into us so that we can shine it back out. There was one day when I was coming back into the market for my lunch break, clocked in, and the first thing my assistant said to me, "What does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain?" Okay. Hold on a sec. I don't remember exactly what I said in response. I do know I told him it's obviously one of the Ten Commandments. That's Exodus 20:7. You shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So I was telling him we're to use God's name respectfully and honorably. He agreed, but what he was getting at was God's name. He was asking, what's God's name? And I was thinking, okay, well, God has a lot of names. He's called a lot of things. Well, what's his name? And he was just like, the Jews have a name for him. What's his name? And he was trying to say some word. And I was like, Yahweh? Because that was like the Hebrew word for God. That was his name. That's what they called him. And then I mentioned Jehovah, another translation of that. And he's like, yeah, that's it. So with that figured out, the real reason for this question was made known. So he said, so when someone says, oh my God, they're not using God's name because they're not saying Yahweh or Jehovah. So I was like, oh, okay. So we finally get to the point of the roundabout way to get to his question. And it's very hard to have a long conversation in the market with what customers coming up to the counter and always wanting meat. You just can't talk very long. So as a result, the conversations in the market are very broken and sometimes are left hanging. This was one of those hanging conversations I never really was able to end it for him. So this has still been in my mind and all that. So in my heart, in my mind and in my heart, I knew the answer for him. He's like, yeah, that is still taking the name of the Lord in vain, but phrasing it in a way to answer his question I wasn't able to do right then. And then an underlying topic came into my mind then too, underlying topic, but that he was trying to justify his use of that phrase. He was trying to get away with sinning, with saying what he wants to say, but not have it be a bad thing. He's trying to justify his sin, that's not my topic today, but that is a problem that a lot of people do have, so that is something to be aware of. But he was saying, since he's using the word God, and he didn't think God was his name, he wasn't using Yahweh or Jehovah, he was okay in saying what he was saying. Unfortunately, this assistant manager just recently got transferred to another fairway. That's what happens with assistants. They get moved around a lot. But when I was saying goodbye to him the last time, he did mention that he enjoyed our talks and asking me questions. And I said, well, you got my number. You can ask me some more. So I wasn't able to give him the answer to his question. And I have his number, obviously, so I could still answer him. But me, I generally like people to ask me first. So this is my answer. So what's it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? First, I want to look at what a name is. In Bible times, maybe a little bit more than today, a person's name not only served as a means of identification, but also described a person's character, their position or destiny. Sometimes a person was renamed, reflecting a change in that person's character. My name is Matthew Howard Clark. That is my name. But I'd also say my name is Matt, or Clark, or some other variation of that. One doesn't have to use my full given name to use my name. One doesn't even have to use my name to refer to me, to name me, to acknowledge me. When Ethan was learning to talk, if he didn't call me Matt or Matthew, I didn't just ignore him. Like, who are you talking to? He didn't even start by calling me Father or probably even Daddy. Unfortunately, I don't remember. Do you remember what your first word was, what you called me? Yeah, no. To me, what you called me? No. I don't either. It was probably like Dada or something. But yeah, if he referred to me as Dada and not Matt, I knew he was talking to me, about me. He was referring to me. He was naming me. He was talking about me. That's what he called me. In the first verse of the Bible, God is referred to by the name God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So even if God is not God's actual given name, it is how we refer to him. It is a name for him. So God has many names. He is referred to in many ways. Various names of God are especially important. Each name reveals a particular aspect of his nature, and for this reason, his name is to be honored. It should never be used irreverently, which is the third commandment in Exodus 20. God's nature and abilities, the whole of his being, and especially his glory, are reflected in his name. Psalms 8:1, the Psalm of David, says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 111:9, he has sent redemption to his people, he has commanded his covenant forever, holy and awesome is his name. God's name is excellent. It is holy and awesome. So this morning, I want to look at several of God's names. By no means all of them. Don't have time for that. But look at some of the names of God, because I think it's a good reminder of, especially some of these, of how we can refer to God other than his name, because these are all his name, but not his official name. So I'm going to go through these rather quick. I might not read all of the verses. If you do want them later, I can get them for you. All right, starting in Genesis 15:2, Lord God, God Most High, Psalms 57:2, Almighty God, Genesis 17:1. One we're all most of us are familiar with in Exodus chapter 3. I will read this one, 13:14. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So that's like the question, what's the God's name? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. This one was also, I didn't know it, this one exactly. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. His name is jealous. Psalm 18 and 46, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Rock, God of my salvation. My strength, Psalms 22, 19. The Almighty, Psalm 68 and 14. I like this one. Psalms 136 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. God with a big G, because that's his name, and the other gods is small g. So he's the God of gods. And that's what my assistant was trying to get to, is that God is. And he actually mentioned, like, well, Zeus is a god and all those other gods. Well, I was like, those are lower G gods. That's not his name. That's not it. They're not that. God is not their names. God is God's name. So God is the God of gods. And those are even fictional, so they don't even exist. Jeremiah 32 and 18. Mighty God. 1 Timothy 1:17, King Eternal. 1 Timothy 6:15 has three of them. Potentate, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I like this one in James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The Father of lights. And that even found three names that Jesus refers to God, what he calls him. Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus called him heavenly Father. Matthew 5:35, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Called him his great king. And then Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Lord of heaven and earth. Obviously, not all of God's names. There's a lot more in there, but these were just some that I picked out as a reminder to me also, but to you, of what some of God's names are. So we don't have to refer to him as Yahweh or Jehovah or even God. There's a lot of ways to refer to our Lord. So what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? Going back to that. First, what does it mean to do anything in vain? To do something in vain means to do it without success or to no effect. If you do something in vain, you do it with no results. You do not succeed in achieving what you intend. Many people believe that taking the Lord's name in vain refers to using the Lord's name as a swear word, which it could be. They think that because it has nothing to do with the proper reverent use of God's name. But saying, oh my God, is not a swear word. It's used at least 21 times in the Bible, that exact phrase. Just a couple. Psalms 25, 1 through 3. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. And another one I picked out was Ezra 9 and 6. And I said, O my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you. My God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Saying the words, O my God, is not bad. It is how it's used or how it is said and the thought behind it. There is more involved with a vain use of God's name than just simply saying the words. In the Old Testament, bringing dishonor on God's name was done by failing to perform an oath or a vow taken in his name. Leviticus 19 and 12. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. The man who used God's name to legitimize an oath, and if he were to break that oath, would indicate a lack of reverence for God as well as a lack of fear of his holy retribution. Jesus, when he was telling his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he begins his prayer as an example by saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God's name is to be hallowed. It's to be considered holy, sacred, and revered. Because of the greatness of the name of God, any use of God's name that brings dishonor on him or on his character is taking his name in vain. When people say, Oh my God, generally today it's out of surprise or shock or they're taken off guard. It's usually how that comes out. They're not asking God for help. If that's the case, then fine. If they're saying, Oh my God, help me, okay. That's not what they're intending, usually, mostly. Taking the Lord's name in vain is to speak of God with taking his name in vain is to speak of God with irreverence or disrespect. When one types the words OMG, it's the same thing. And there's a lot of other oh my words that are out there that are just replacements. But it's the same thing. So I think we could all use a reminder that our words carry meaning. No matter if we're referring to God or any other words, all of our words carry meaning. So when we speak, we must ask ourselves, do these words help others and honor God? If one is saying, Oh my God, are they giving glory to God and asking for his help? Are they acknowledging his power, that he has power to help them? I think one of the devil's sneakiest tricks is to be accustomed to devaluing the name of God. The name of God is used very flippantly today, both the name of God and Jesus Christ. Those names are not used the way they should be. They are saying the name of God, the excellent and awesome and holy name of God, but they are not treating it with respect. The name of the Lord is holy, as he is holy. The name of the Lord is a representation of his glory, his majesty, his supreme deity, his power. And we are to esteem and honor his name as we revere and glorify God himself. To do any less is to take his name in vain. Yeah, so this was a reminder for me that I kind of went various different topics here, but I need spreading my light, shining my light a little brighter possibly. But it was a good reminder that it does shine. Maybe not as bright as it could, but it is shining. And to have an answer ready when the questions come up, and that involves a little more study off and on various topics, so to be ready for those. Yeah, just the words you say need to respect and honor God, whether it's his name, Jesus' name, or not. So these are my thoughts this morning, and the name of God is awesome. The name of Jesus is awesome. Jesus is awesome for doing this for us today. So if you are in need of his sacrifice, to take advantage of his sacrifice, you're invited to come forward as you stand and sing.